facing everything. Accord and respond without laboring, and accomplish without hindrance. Everywhere, turn around freely, not following conditions, not falling into classifications. Facing everything, let go and attain stability. Stay with that, just as that. Stay with this, just as this. This and that are mixed together with no discriminations as to their places. So it is said that the earth lifts up the mountain without knowing the mountain's stark steepness. A rock contains jade without knowing the jade's flawlessness. It's especially good to be here tonight for two reasons for me. One is that I wasn't here last week and missed you all, missed sitting with Morning Star, although I heard it was wonderful. And the second reason was because I wasn't sure I was going to get to be here tonight. Probably a week and a half ago or so, a little tick about the size of a sesame seed latched on to the back of my leg without my knowing and decided to take a little bit of my blood and leave me with a parting gift. And so about 4 days ago, 3 or 4 days ago, a big red bullseye emerged on the back of my hamstring. And I had noticed for a few days before that a kind of flu-like feelings were coming over me, but I attributed it to getting old. I'd been out camping with my son in Montana, in Glacier National Park, and a number of other places. And we had gone for some serious hikes and trail runs and things like that, and then camped out overnight and having an exquisite time. But I did notice that I was getting more and more sore as the time went on. And as I said, I just assumed, I'm getting old. Turned out I am getting old, but that I also was coming down with Lyme disease. And eventually, when discovered the bullseye, went to the doctor and it was diagnosed, and I've been given about 20 days of antibiotics. On the bright side, it is the fever broke last night. Until last night, I'd had this just chills and burning hot sensation alternately, pretty consistent fever. And then last night, in the middle of the night, I broke out in a sweat. The fever passed. And I guess the antibiotics have kicked in because I did not expect I would be here tonight. So it is good to be here. And you know, we have our five remembrances that we are all subject to. Illness is one of them. And I did think of that in my moments of suffering, the physical ailment. The ailment is in some ways very hard to describe, and I won't go into great detail, but there's a purpose to it. It's like the flu in your muscles, which is kind of bad enough, but it included a certain amount of nausea and headache and the fever and things like that. But it also includes this kind of stabbing joint pain, which I'd not experienced. And that can kind of rush in at you, almost maybe, I suppose, somewhat like arthritis. I'm not sure, I've not had that, so. But it's what I imagined arthritis might feel like. And the overwhelming quality of it, and lymph nodes really hurt too, so the kind of overwhelming quality of pain. I expected Lyme disease hurt, but this was worse than I expected it to be. And I found myself having to fly home while it was peaking in terms of the level of pain that I was experiencing. So I had about a 6 hours on a plane. Not a lot of moving you can do there or that I would want to do, but one of the hardest parts, of course, about having sort of these flu-like symptoms is being unable to get comfortable. So I was sitting in a very, it was a small seat, kind of contracted on this plane, nowhere to go. Talk about the path of no escape that we hear so much about in Buddhism. I thought of this chant, facing everything in the midst of it. Before I get to this chant, I want to tell a few other, what I thought of, two other relevant stories. One was of a Zen monk who was wandering about and heard the scream of a Zen master in the distance, who had been, was being, who was killed, basically, by burglars, by robbers. He didn't have much to offer, and they stabbed him. And he screamed out in agony. And this threw the monk into some kind of disarray. He wondered, what is this practice for, if even a Zen master screams in agony on being killed? I was also reminded of some of the last words of a contemporary teacher who was dying of cancer and was asked, as he was approaching his end, how do you feel? And he responded, it hurts. Why do we do this practice if we don't, in fact, utterly transcend suffering or pain? What's the point? So, on the flight home, I meditated. I meditated for about half the trip. I sort of dozed off for the first maybe hour, and then there was a middle period where I just meditated. And then in the end, I listened to Neil Young, which is pretty good too. And in the meditating period, I just did a practice of counting my breath for much of the time. And then for other parts of it, I just sat. And it's a really interesting thing to meditate with pain. And of course, we all do it from time to time, whether it's physical or emotional or a kind of mental agony, maybe the heat. But whatever it is, we sit with some level of discomfort and we face it. When we begin practice, we might imagine that we will transcend it, that it will no longer touch us. And that may be what brings us to practice in the beginning. You know what? I don't want to suffer anymore. I'm going to get enlightenment, or I'm going to practice Zen, and then I won't suffer anymore. And at some point, we gain the wisdom of no escape, and we give up. And ironically, as we give up, that is where we find the relief. There is something to just submission. The bow is of great significance. I bow down to life as it actually is. I hold the Buddha up over my head and bow down in acceptance. So we do when we meditate. We bow down to life as it is, and that includes all of our pain and suffering. And in some way, this bowing down, or this accepting, this simple receiving, just witnessing, it's not even something that we have to do actively with our minds. I don't think we can. I think when we're resisting, the only thing we can do is accept that we're resisting. But something about this practice of just sitting eventually wears down our defenses in a good way, till we just are what is. And in that being what is, we find our freedom. It's such a paradoxical thing to say, and yet I do believe it is true. So in a way, we are not changed at all by this practice. And yet we are also very changed in our allowing. This chant is so beautiful. Accord and respond without laboring and accomplish without hindrance. Everywhere turn around freely, following conditions, not falling into classifications. Not following conditions. And yet, listen to this. Facing everything, let go and attain stability. Stay with that, just as that. Stay with this, just as this. So what is this stay with that and stay with this, but not following conditions? We can see, as in most Zen sutras and most chants and directions, something of a two-sided coin in here. Don't follow conditions. Don't fall into classifications. But stay with that as that and stay with this as this. I think I can offer a tiny bit of unpacking, or I can say what it means to me in my practice. And in what way this is liberating and profound and helpful. It is inevitable that our minds tell us what things are. Of course, it was helpful for me to know that what I was suffering from was not simply old age. I needed a diagnosis to be treated appropriately. This mind is so capable and competent and so important for our survival in this world. And there is more. It is one thing to read the brochure about Lyme disease, and another thing entirely to experience it. So what is it to stay with this as this, stay with that as that, without falling into classifications? Well, of course, I might have told a story about my experience while sitting on the plane. I might have gotten very caught up in my suffering, very caught up in a particular notion of what I was experiencing. Oh my God, I'm in so much pain, I can't move. This is like a hell realm, I can't believe, there's nothing I can do. And what I'm doing there is spinning. Spinning and spinning in my own mind. And that is a real kind of torture. It's a really terribly painful experience. 6 hours on a plane living in that kind of an attitude would feel like a lifetime. But it's another thing to sit on the plane and just say, okay, what's here now? What is this? And to see that the actuality of the experience is quite shape-shifting. is not actually fixed, that there is a kind of sensation, pressure that arises in one moment, and a kind of heat, and then comes the cold, then comes the shake, and then comes the pressure, and this kind of dance of movement, and then comes the little girl who's sitting two seats over who says, "Look at the clouds, they're so beautiful." And the mother who stands with her baby and walks five aisles up and bounces her child in her arms. So much sweetness going on in the world at the same time. So much more going on than my little story. The diagnosis was helpful, but it was not enough. Life is much bigger. Earlier tonight, we were sitting, and there was a crow. I suspect some of you heard it. Outside the window, cawing at us. Well, maybe it's something else, you know. But it cawed at us a series of times. And I thought of Akiyo's book, Crow with No Mouth. Just the purity of that caw, emerging out of a boundless spaciousness, emerging out of the oneness of the universe, pure caw. Out of these infinite causes and conditions comes that sound. Out of something much bigger than any story that I can tell comes that sound. We are manifestations of something quite vast and beautiful that is always here and always present. No matter how sick and troubled we may be, and in which we can always take refuge. It is not hidden, always present. It's just this as this, and that as that. That and this are mixed together with no discrimination as to their places. So it is said that the earth lifts up the mountain without knowing the mountain's stark steepness. So it is that there is a caw emerging from a crow with no mouth, sensations arising amidst the vastness of an airplane held up in the infinite sky by the air itself. Empty of any kind of fixed essence. This as this, that as that, born out of boundlessness. This is our true home, right here.